Are you a man who has done it all? So why does it still feel like something's missing? The CEO of an international senior home care company found out rather late in life that mission work brings fulfillment. I'm Brian Patrick. As we continue our series on becoming disciples, it's never too late, with special guest Larry Meggs, this time on Crossing the Goal. We are now on the kickoff for our show on becoming disciples. It's never too late. Here's our Crossing the Goal team from Renewal Ministries, Vice President Peter Herbeck, founder and president of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and the old coach himself, former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. Danny, I say that with great respect.
No, I know she put that old in there, too.
And fear and trembling, too.
Yeah. We're focusing on, you know, it's never too late to be a disciple. And, you know, we need disciples everywhere, especially in the business world and beyond, Coach.
Right. You know, I've been associated with a lot of businessmen, CEOs, and what I find out, they think that they have to give up their business in order to become in ministry work.
Yeah.
Or they have this idea as, I don't want to give up my business to get in ministry. You know, I don't want to give it up. I'm not going to give it up for ministry. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. You don't have to do either or.
Well, I think the vision of discipleship that we're trying to communicate is that a disciple is an integrated person. You know, he's got a relationship with Christ that permeates everything in his life, his home life, his business life, his ministry life, his entertainment, his play life, all of it. Why? Because I live in a constant state of mission. And a CEO in the business world, God's given him gifts to be there, right?
Yes, yes.
And he's a disciple in that situation. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, he's respecting the dignity of human work. He's modeling what it means to be a disciple in that context. But you need to be involved in all that the Lord wants to lead you into and be that disciple in all those different situations.
And the culture is looking with a certain sense of urgency for men and women who are going to step up and live as role models in front of their employees and in front of others to be able to say, you can be a man who is successful in the world, is building his corporate interests and success, and at the same time very interested in making other people's lives better, because each of us have to be very, very concerned about addressing poverty in whatever form is presented to us. So I'm excited about this topic.
All right, you're so excited, I'm going to let you guys sit out the game plan this time, what do you think?
It's great. Sounds good.
Yeah? Coach, can you keep an eye on him?
I'll try my best.
Ow! I'll have your game plan this time with Larry Meggs, the CEO of Visiting Angels. That's next here on Crossing the Goal. Hello, Larry.
Brian.
Good work, you guys. Thanks, everybody.
I'm Brian Patrick, back with you in the game plan. I've always wondered what it feel like to stand at this great podium where Peter and Curtis normally stand. We're in the game plan and welcoming the CEO of Visiting Angels, Larry Meggs, who's with us at Crossing the Goal. Larry, good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Now, you came to the faith sort of, let's say, third quarter of your life. How did that happen?
Well, I did have a conversion experience in my early 20s campus ministry at Penn State University, and then after that kind of fell away from it and just sort of wandered in the wilderness for about 20 years, and attended a conference at Notre Dame University in 1995 and had a powerful conversion experience there.
So a Marian conference. Now, you had, right. had your earlier conversion experience had been more on the evangelical line.
That's right.
But here you now are coming into the church, the Catholic Church, through Mary.
Well, that's how it turned out. The Lord kind of threw a curveball my way because my background was evangelical one for a short period of time, but I was raised in a Protestant home. I wasn't Catholic. But I had heard, you know, all of the approaches that evangelicals could use, and I had wandered very far away from God during my adult years, and the Lord knew that the traditional approach was not going to bring me back.
So our Blessed Mother threw you a curveball.
Absolute curveball. Fortunately, I had not been indoctrinated with any anti-Catholic type thinking, and my mother died when I was two, so I think the Lord realized that a mother-type figure could have a powerful influence in my life, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, He used our Blessed Mother to bring me first to that conference at Notre Dame and ultimately back to her son.
Yeah, you're not the first Jesus. That's happened to, by the way.
You sure about that? Okay.
Now, you went on to found Visiting Angels. Tell us what that is and how was that planted in you, that idea?
Well, my wife Gina and I, and we have two boys, Bob, who's 19 today, and Calvin, who's 13, and we were just looking for something new. I'd been in franchise consulting, business opportunity marketing since 1981, and my consulting business fell apart, had a financial meltdown. I was calling out to Jesus in the middle of the night to save my family and not have us have to lose our home and move in with relatives. And the Lord just brought the concept to me of Visiting Angels, which is senior home care to help seniors who want to continue living at home in their familiar surroundings and not have to move into institutional care.
So when you started it, were you actually one of the Visiting Angels? Did you go into these homes?
Yes, I was actually the first Visiting Angels franchisee. I mm-hmm. used to go into the homes of older adults who needed the care and build relationships with them and the families and introduce them to caregivers that we were referring to them, and got a lot of satisfaction out of that. But as time moved on and our franchise program gained momentum, which it has, today we have 400 some franchise agencies.
Incredible.
In 47 states plus Canada, Brazil, South Korea. So then I began to get a little more and more removed from the actual care aspect and the relational aspect of working with the families as I had previously.
So you reached a place in your career where you're successful, obviously, right. But you felt like there should be something more. What have you been
yes.
able to find that fulfills that?
Well, as a CEO, you can get somewhat alienated from reality in that, you know, your staff is doing so much of the work for you, and we're blessed with so many talented people that are providing support to our franchisees and, of course, the people that provide the actual care in the homes. So, and I've always felt drawn to actually a couple of different types of ministry. I felt drawn to prison ministry. I felt drawn to youth ministry. And I've been able to kind of get into, I'm not involved in prison ministry yet, but I'm involved in ex-offender ministry and homeless ministry, and also youth ministry in the high schools through a group called Catholic Athletes for Christ.
It takes a little guts, I bet, to get out of that CEO position and put yourself, I know you minister in Camden, New Jersey, in a fairly rough area where you really one-on-one with people that you might not otherwise mix with.
Well, it's certainly, you know, you're dealing with the homeless, you're dealing with people who have recently been released from prison, or they're very soon to go back to prison. So it's not the people that you might be involved with day in and day out. I've had a background where that wasn't so strange to me, because I used to work, I went to grad school for psychology, and I worked in mental health court and was in and out of all the psychiatric institutions in the Philadelphia area, doing follow-up kind of social work for those who were committed to psychiatric institutions. And I've lived in some rough neighborhoods when that was all I could afford, you know, when I was in college and grad school. So,
aren't you finding, though, that some of these folks minister to you as much as you minister to them?
Oh, absolutely. In Camden, we do what we call, that's a program called South Jersey Aftercare and My Father's Hands. And it's operated by Bill and Brenda Antinor. And Bill was an attorney that spent some time in federal prison and started prison ministry there and continued it once he got out. And it's been a tremendous blessing for me. But we do what we call a table ministry, where they're serving breakfast every Saturday morning. We sit down and just ask them if they need prayer for anything. And I've got some little flashcards with scriptures on them and some of the promises of God for our lives in scripture. And also a little deliverance card that talks about so many of the deliverance scriptures, mainly from Psalms, where God promises to deliver us from any bad situation that we get in. So we just kind of go through the scriptures and talk about their needs, build relationships, pray with them, and it's just a blessed morning. It's just a couple of hours on Saturday morning.
And I'm sure it's very rewarding and very successful, and I know we're going to want to find out more about your ministry to young people through athletics, and I'm sure Coach and Curtis and Peter will get into that as we get in the red zone, because this was just the warm-up. You get to face us all down there.
All right.
Larry, good to have you with us. We are in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal. Stay with us. We're in the red zone here on Crossing the Goal, becoming disciples, never too late, with our special guest, Larry Meggs. And Larry, you talked about, your different ministries. And I know, Coach, you'd probably be most interested in the one that involves athletics.
Yeah. Larry, you got Catholic Athletes for Christ. It's a ministry that's predominantly in the major leagues, getting masses in the different ballparks. But you've got a unique angle to it. You've taken it to another step. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, well, it was started by Ray McKenna just about 5 years ago now, as you mentioned, to minister to Major League Baseball players. But I was just looking for a program I could bring in initially to my son's high school so that we could bring some faith formation in to teenagers in school. And I had some involvement with FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and my son went to the camps a couple of years in a row, and just thought, well, we need a Catholic style FCA. And so when I met Ray and heard about Catholic Athletes for Christ, that just seemed like it would fit the bill. And I talked to Ray about the idea of getting started with a high school and possibly university model also. And we're in our third year now at Archbishop Carroll High School in Radnor, Pennsylvania, where we have a half hour, or no, actually a 50-minute meeting every Wednesday afternoon after school. We normally get anywhere from 25 to 35 students there.
Give us a little snapshot of what a meeting looks like.
Oh, sure. Well, we have, when they come in, we have praise and worship music playing as they come in, and then we show a couple of five, six-minute videos on conversion stories, miracle stories, athlete testimonials. Of course, one of our spokespersons for Catholic Athletes for Christ is Mike Piazza. Another one's Mike Sweeney from Major League Baseball. So those are great, great role models for the young people. We had some little mini assemblies last year. We had Steve Fitzhugh, who played in the Super Bowl with John Elway and the Denver Broncos. He did a fantastic job presenting to our kids.
There's no better way to reach high school kids than with athletes.
That's
professional,
right?
Professional athletes.
That's,
you know, that, Coach.
Yeah. You know what's so important, you guys, about having guys like you, Larry, who are engaging young men, is, a lot of young guys look up to successful people. You know what I mean? It's successful in the world or athletics or whatever. And the Lord's put on your heart, and I think this is the message we want to communicate through the show, that for every disciple, the desire to lead people to Christ is something that's just fundamental in our hearts. And
right,
the Lord put, besides your responsibility and your business and all that that calls you to do in terms of integrity and witnessing to excellence and all the rest of it, He also gave you a hunger to want to see young people meet Jesus. And,
That's right. I don't know, from very early age, I just, had a sense that I was supposed to teach the Word of God. I'm not a preacher by any means, but I think especially in the Catholic Church, there's a void when it comes to just the focusing on the importance of Scripture. What we try to do with the young people is to, first of all, get them comfortable with the Bible, get them to know that the Bible is loaded with God's promises for our lives, and promises that He will absolutely keep for us, so that they can, anytime they want God to speak to them, they can just open up the pages of Scripture and know that He will absolutely speak to their hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit right then and there. And then beyond that, just to get to know what God's really like, because we have a society today that's selling a concept of God that's artificial, a joyless God, a God that's there just to condemn you, judge you. You know, when I was a kid, I thought God's job is to see to it that I have absolutely no fun, right?
Yeah.
To see to it that I'll never experience anything fun in my life, when He's the one who invented fun.
That's right. Yeah.
He's not only created joy, He is joy.
Yeah.
And the only joy we have is through Him. So trying to impart those things to young people and get them ready to move on through life, not where, God's somebody to be avoided or tippy-toed around.
You know, Larry, to watch and have had an opportunity to know you now for a little bit of time, it's been great. I mean, I love the example that that you're raising up, because we need role models. And as a CEO, but also as a father and a husband, and then also as a man who's sitting back saying, okay, but there's still more that can be done. It's exciting to see all that. Do you find much support? Have you been able to find other men who are peers who are sitting back saying yes? Or do you also experience the fact that we're still kind of ramping up to the new evangelization?
Well, we're always ramping up. I mean, I have a great small group of supporters that help me with Catholic Athletes for Christ. Brian Hanlon, who used to be the head of CEO in CYO in Philadelphia. Jim Delaney, who's a great benefactor for us. Jim Coffey, of course, Ray McKenna, who started it. So it's a small group, but you know, we're always looking to expand, because we've actually experienced 200% growth recently. We're up to 3 high schools now instead of one, the way it was a few weeks ago.
Don't despise small beginnings, though. That's how it all starts.
Everything
my
starts
friend.
Small.
You should know. You're a franchise expert.
It's interesting as I sit here and think of CEOs out there who might be watching the show and stuff like that, and they're probably wondering, should I step out? Should I not? What can I do? What would you say to them out there?
Well, I'm a convert to the faith. I came into the church in December of 1995, and that was after a period of 20 years in the wilderness of having no relationship with God. And I do not recommend that for anybody, because you're just going to stumble every day, which is what I did. But once I was received into the church, which was a tremendous blessing for me, I kind of lived for close to 10 years sort of as what I'd call a consumer Catholic, where I wanted to be fed, I wanted, you know, good homilies
which
in Mass, I wanted
yeah.
good teachings, you know, but I didn't realize that the best feeding of your spirit comes through self-sacrifice and through missions and through service. And it was when I met Bill Antonor and got involved in South Jersey Aftercare, and then moving into the Catholic Athletes group, and I'm teaching some high school CCD, things like that. I come out of those experiences just feeling so blessed, and just feeling like it's just a blessed morning, or it's a blessed afternoon with Catholic Athletes for Christ. So anybody that's worried about getting fed, get out there. Get out there with your boots on the ground, no matter what it is. Soup kitchen, you know, anything that you can volunteer for. It doesn't have to be, you know, there's a zillion things, a zillion needs out there, and that's where you'll be fed.
Are you able to balance it with your business, which is, in a sense, a ministry, really?
Sure.
My business is a ministry. Our services aren't free.
No.
So they're not looking at us like we're Mother Teresa. You know, as soon as anybody's paying you even a nickel, they can be demanding. But the relationships we have with our families is great. Yes, I'm able to balance it. That's where it's great being a CEO, because I can disappear from my office for a few hours at a time, and nobody questions me when I get back.
Yeah, Curtis can do that too.
My staff wonders I ever come at all.
You know, another way to integrate that whole life is, you mentioned you took your son with you recently on one of these missions.
He just started with me in Camden. On Friday, this Saturday morning last week, he goes to Eastern University in Radnor, Pennsylvania, and he's doing he has a certain amount of hours of community service. And for years I've wanted to bring him in to this, and so this is a great opportunity for him to see what it's like out there. And he didn't seem to be fazed by it at all. He jumped right in with both feet. So
it's great when fathers and sons can do that kind of thing together. And what happens at the table? You said you have a table ministry?
Well, I call it a table ministry because it's not just Camden now. Now we go occasionally to Salvation Army and St. John's Hospice in Center City, Philadelphia. And you know, if it's a first time going there, whoever's leading it might say, do you want us to introduce you? No. I'll just sit down, you know, and whoever's sitting at that table, you know, 4 or 5 men, or there's Camden's probably 90% men, 10% women. Just sit down with them, introduce myself, get to know them, ask them what they might need prayer for. Best icebreaker in the world. You know, the first few times I went there, wasn't sure what to say. The Lord finally put in my heart, ask them if they need prayer for anything. Ask them if they need prayer for their families. Ask them, and ultimately, well, how about yourself? You know, what might you need some prayer for? And especially the homeless and prisoners. If anybody's interested in that type of ministry, these people are open.
Yeah.
These people are very open. It's a different thing from teenagers in a affluent suburban community.
Yeah.
You've got to pull some things out of them at times, but yeah. You're going to the homeless, you're going to ex-offenders, present offenders, whatever. They know that they're in desperate straits, and mm-hmm. they're eager to get to know the promises of God and mm-hmm. who God is and how he can help them.
What would you say to other CEOs or other people in business, successful, who have that yearning to do something else? How would you encourage them to just do it?
Well, first of all, you have to know that God lives, right? First of all, you have to know that God's mm-hmm. your Father, and that he loves you with all his heart, and that he cares about everything that you care about, no matter how small it is. Mm-hmm. And you have to know that you're his beloved son right now. Even in our sins, all of us as Christians still commit sins every day. You know, I won't get through the next hour without committing some kind of sin, whether it's just something I think about, or hopefully nothing worse than that, but you never know. So God loves you right now. He's your Father, you're his beloved son. And once you know that, he's gonna guide you to the right ministry that's available for you, and
you can trust that, right?
My suggestion is be obedient to it. Get out there, and you'll never regret it.
All right, Larry Meggs, thanks. Added a lot to the show here on Crossing the Goal. We appreciate it. These guys will get the last word up in the end zone next. Stay with us for more of Crossing the Goal.
Good job.
You were great.
Very good.
Big white thing floating in the air.
Come to the end zone on our show on Becoming Disciples. It's never too late. Time for the closing thoughts from our Crossing the Goal team members, beginning with Peter Herbeck.
As Larry was sharing with us, Ryan, of a very important thing Pope John Paul II used to say many times, for every disciple, our life is about words and deeds. We live a life that is filled with integrity and communicates the life of God, but we also need to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in us that's moving us to share the love and promises of God with people that we meet.
That's a great point. And I love the example, Larry. He just is a great witness to a fundamental principle that we try to teach the college students we work with, and that is a simple principle that God will never be outdone in generosity. So whether you're weighing the reality of being generous with your time or your talent or your treasure, just remember that God desires to bless you more than you desire to be blessed. And so when we enter into that relationship of generosity, you always end up in a relationship with somebody who will never be outdone.
You CEOs or owners of companies out there, I know a lot of times you might be looking around, what ministry can I get involved with? Well, guess what? Your business might be your ministry. You have all these families you're providing for. What I want you to do is turn your business over, your life first, then your business over to Jesus Christ, and let the Holy Spirit work in your family and in your business.
All right, Coach, we need each other out there on this discipleship road, and you're going to have a special friend in next time.
I got a good friend in that does a lot of work, epitomizes discipleship, and it's Dan Spencer with the National Fellowship of Catholic Men.
All right, that's on We Need Each Other as we conclude our series on Becoming Disciples. Next time here on Crossing the Goal. We'll see you then.